Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Eduardo Weissman was born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in 1944 to Jewish parents who had emigrated from Poland. He studied physics in Buenos Aires and later received his PhD from Yeshiva University in New York. He also has a master's degree in international relations from the University of California at San Diego. He's lived and worked as a physicist in Argentina, France, and the United States, and has published numerous articles in professional journals. Although he began to write poetry at an early age, he only started writing prose about 10 years ago after moving to Madrid, where he began to participate in reading clubs and creative writing workshops. His first collection of short stories, Calles Alquiladas, or Rented Streets in English, was recently published by Esdrújula Ediciones, a new publishing house based in Granada. The book was presented in Madrid at the Centro de Arte Moderno, which is a bookstore specialized in Latin American writers and Spanish writers with a connection to Latin America.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Eduardo. Could you tell us first a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your family background?
Yes. I was born in Buenos Aires in 1944, and my parents were both from Poland, Jewish people, and I lived in Buenos Aires until I left to study in New York in the late 1960s.
You studied physics and international relations, and yet you have said that even as a child you wrote poetry. Why did you study physics and international relations?
Well, those things happened in very different times of my life. I was supposed to be a physician, which was the classical thing for a child of immigrants. Either you were a lawyer or a physician. But I was pretty good in mathematics, so I chose physics. So I studied physics, got my doctorate in New York, and was a physicist for many years. But in my 40s, I decided I wanted to explore a different career, and then I studied in San Diego, in the University of California at San Diego, international relations. So I have a master's in international relations. I never really practiced that in any way. The poetry story is a different thing completely. I mean, when I was 15 or 16, I started writing poetry, and in a way I never stopped doing that, but that was just like, say, a hobby. Professionally, I would say most of my life was dedicated to work in physics.
You gave a talk to the women's organization, the Jewish women's organization here in Madrid, on nanotechnology. And I was wondering, is it difficult to explain these complicated things to lay people? Because I know sometimes scientists or people who are into, let's say, computer technology, everything seems easy to them, but when they try to explain it to somebody who doesn't really understand it, they're not capable of doing that.
Well, there's two ways to answer that. The first one is that I didn't know much about nanotechnology, and I had to learn a little bit to be able to explain it. And I thought that was not that difficult to explain. However, there is a famous anecdote attributed to Einstein. I don't know if it's true, but Einstein would explain the special theory of relativity, and he would ask, "Did you understand?" And people would say, "No." So he would explain it again, and people would say, "They didn't understand." Finally, he would try a third time, and everybody was very happy, so he would say, "Well, that's not the theory of relativity." I don't know if it's true, but in a way, there are certain things that are not that explainable. You know, physics really speaks the language of mathematics. On the other hand, there are famous, extraordinary people that did divulgation, did the popularization of science, and they are extremely good at explaining it. But there is always this secret that is only contained in mathematics, that if you really wanted to know, you would have to learn mathematics.
You've lived in Argentina, the United States, and France. Was it as a physicist? Were you working in physics in all three places?
Yes, when in Argentina I was studying and I worked, and in the United States, in which I lived like 34 years, most of the time I was a physicist. I did some managerial work, but science management in a private company. And in Argentina I also worked in management for a while. In France, I was a postdoctoral, so I only lived there 1 year. So, yeah, in all the three countries, I was working at physics in one way or another, although there were short times in which I was doing other things.
Can you compare what it was like to live and work in those different places?
That's a difficult thing to do. However, I would say the United States certainly was the place that offered the best opportunities and in which the career path was clearer. In France, I only spent a year. I was a postdoctoral, so it was easy. Argentina was the most complicated, and I think still is, of the three places. I think if it weren't for the political problems of Argentina, I would have stayed there. So I left because of the political situation, and that, of course, gets into being able to exercise your profession in a decent way, which is very difficult to do in Argentina, not just for me, but for many, many people.
For the last 10 years you've lived in Madrid. I was wondering what brought you here.
Well, first of all, my daughter and grandchildren. But also, as both Marta and I did not depend geographically anymore of our jobs, we decided it was a good thing to be near them, and also to go back to our mother language. I mean, and also for something I don't really quite understand, I have always had this romantic notion of Spain. Probably it had to do with the Civil War when I was a kid in Argentina, and with Hemingway later on.
Since you've been here, you participated in creative writing workshops. Is this the first time that you've ever really given full rein to that aspect of your interest?
Yes, indeed. I have never taken a course in literature or creative writing in my life before I came to Spain and live in Madrid in the last 10.5 years. And most of those years I have taken workshops or reading or was part of reading clubs, etc. Yes, but that was the first time, yes.
Did you continue to write creatively during all the years that you were working as a physicist, since you started when you were a teenager?
No. I only wrote poetry, and mostly it's just gathering dust in some folder somewhere, with exception of a number of poems. I presented once to a competition in Mesa College in San Diego, and I won it. I mean, it was published locally, so it's not a big publication. But other than that, I had never written a short story in my life before I came to Spain.
Do you have any favorite writers, anyone who you find has inspired you particularly?
Well, being from Argentina, it's almost an obligation to follow Cortázar and Borges. And Cortázar was very important when I was a young person, and so was Borges. Many other writers. I discovered in the late 70s Isaac Bashevis Singer, who I think is extraordinary. Well, there are too many names, but I think in whatever I write, probably the Argentinian influence of the those two people is really the most important. That influence is really the most important. But, you know, over the years, I've read, of course, many other writers, but, you know, those are the ones that come to mind now.
Tell us about this new book that you've just published, which is actually the first one. It's called Calles Alquiladas, which means rented streets. Where did the name come from? What does it mean?
The name came from an idea I had, this compilation or of short stories, most of them written in workshops, for workshops, I mean, as tasks. When I finished finally compiling them with the help of Pilar Mañas and then from the editor, I realized that there was something in common in all of them, and the something in common was this transient notion that one really never owns anything, that the streets one walks on were there before, are going to be there after one dies, and they are not ours. So, therefore, they're rented. And they're rented, not borrowed, because the price you pay for walking on them is your life.
Speaking of Pilar Mañas, she said something in the presentation that I'm not sure I agree with. She said that a characteristic of the book is its remarkable masculinity. And I didn't really understand what she meant, because from what I read, I think that it's very sensitive, which unfortunately is not usually considered to be a very masculine characteristic. So do you have any idea what she meant by that? I mean, it certainly isn't macho, not what we would consider macho.
No, I think you just read half of what she said. She said there is a clear masculinity that is not ashamed or doesn't hide the feminine part of that. That's the complete sentence. What she meant, I think, is that you can tell in my writing that it's a man writing it who does not hide the sensitive part. I think that's what she meant. And in fact, one of the things I tried in this case in a very conscious way was to sometimes write in the voice of a woman. There is a story, for instance, a story called El Libro, translated as The Book, in which one of the characters, the voice of one of the characters is the voice of a woman and is in the first person. But I think that's what she meant. I don't think she meant masculinity in the traditional sense. She was saying one can be masculine without being macho. Exactly, that's I think what she meant.
The book is written in prose, but it's very, very poetic. And I think that you have a very expressive kind of and descriptive use of the language. I think your use of the language is absolutely beautiful. Do you now prefer prose to poetry? Do you still write much poetry?
Thank you. Yes. Well, I think there is a certain cadence in how I write. If that is poetic, then that's what it is. And in the book, there are several poems, by the way. There is the opening poem, there is a poem in the middle, and there is a poem at the end of the book. And in one long story called Zeide Jaime, which was my grandfather called Jaime de Zeide, there is poems in some as part of the narration, as part of the short story. I don't know if it's a matter of preference. One thing I found, unfortunately, is that if I'm feeling happier, I don't write poetry much. So, and I've been happier in the last 20 years than before. So I write less poetry. And these short stories were written for workshops, as I said. So in a way, I had to write them. But I always intersperse some poetry because I couldn't help it.
Are the stories mostly autobiographical? I mean, they seem to have quite an autobiographical element to them.
Yeah, that reminds me of something that Pilar Mañas was saying about one author. There is some writer that used to say, when I realize I'm inventing things, then I stop writing. Well, in a way, or like Kundera would say, his characters are the people that he never could have been or never was. So I believe in that. In a sense, I will not answer this by saying everything is autobiographical in that sense.
Are there any plans for the book to be translated into English?
None at this point, and I think that depends very strongly either on somebody wanting to do it just because the person wants to do it, or in the success of the book, which is something we don't know at this point what's going to happen. Certainly, if it doesn't become a reasonably big story, which I doubt, it's not going to be translated. unless, for instance, I decide to translate it, which would be difficult because my literary language is really Spanish, or somebody out of the blue decides to do that. So there are no concrete plans, and I just don't see how that will happen.
You said that you kept the book secret as long as possible. Why did you do this, and how long did it take to write, you know, from the first story to the last?
Yeah, that was a joke. I mean, I had, although I don't believe in witches, the witches exist, right? I mean, I had this notion that if I talked about the book too soon, it would not happen. I mean, it's against my rational beliefs, but that's the way it was. It took a long time, not because physically it took me a long time, but because it was, as I said, mostly written as tasks for workshops. So the first of the stories probably was written 9 years ago. But the book took an hour a week from my time, 2 hours a week from my time. So it took a long time chronologically, but not a long time of my own work. In that sense, I say I wrote a book, I'm not a writer.
Are you working on anything now?
No. I think what I'm going to do, what works for me is to keep going to workshops. So I'll go to workshop and keep writing if I'm asked to, and maybe one day I will have to write. You know, Borges once said that he writes because his characters force him to write. My characters are not forcing me to write at this point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
If you would like to read some of the stories in Calles Alquiladas, you can go to the link on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.